College and career-ready educational standards, such as the Common Core State Standards, ensure that America's students are successfully developing the knowledge and skills to succeed in the 21st century economy. Voluntarily adopted by states, these rigorous standards provide a clear, consistent framework for what students should know and be able to perform at each grade level throughout their K-12 education. The implementation by states began several years ago and has understandably brought challenges and questions in the process. The Committee for Economic Development is pleased to present a podcast on the role of educational data as part of its series to support college and career readiness for all students. I'm Cindy Cisneros, the Vice President of Education Programs at the Committee for Economic Development, and here to talk with us today is Amy Gadara, the President and CEO of the Data Quality Campaign.
Amy, can you tell us about Data Quality Campaign's work and your leadership role there?
Happy to do that. So the Data Quality Campaign is a national nonprofit advocacy organization that has been around for a decade now, and we exist to try to change the conversation around the value and the use of better information in education. And we believe passionately that when students, parents, policymakers, teachers, citizens have the right information at the right time in the right format, that students are able to achieve their best. And what we work on is trying to make sure that not only do people have access to the right information at the right time in the right format, but that we also have capacity in all of those places that those individuals know how to access and use that information in the service of improving student learning. My role is I was the founder of the campaign 10 years ago and serve today as the president and CEO.
What specifically are we collecting and looking for in educational data?
So we have always had data in education. That has never been something that we have lacked. There's always been data. As long as there's been education, there's always been data. And as part of that, the true story of that is that most of that data was never really of high quality. It wasn't being used really in the service of learning. It was being used much more for compliance reasons. And so today, we're really in a different situation in that we have higher quality information than we've ever had before. And when we talk about data, you know, most people, when you say what is data in education, most people think of it as being a test score or assessment information. And what we're trying to encourage people to realize is that data is more than a test score. It really is information on demographics, on the course taking, on everything from just the information that a teacher's getting back from asking for thumbs up for comprehension. It's the sort of information that's helping people to make better decisions about what's happening in the classroom, what's happening with resource allocation. And that's one of our challenges, is helping people to realize that data is much, much more than just a single test score. You know, assessment data matters, and it's really important. But what we have the opportunity today when we talk about data is to help people realize that the more data points we have, appropriate data points and limited to what actually is useful, but still, the more data points we have, as a mom, I'll answer this question as a mom, I want as rich a picture as possible of how my girls are doing in school. And I want that information. I want to make sure that my children have that information and that my children's teachers have that information, because the more information they have on what my kids are struggling with, what they're excelling at, and that they can dive down to better personalized learning, that helps my kids, and that's what I want. And that's the opportunity we have now, is that we have more rich information than we've ever had before. But the challenge and the opportunity right now is how do we make sure we're using it to help every child in this country succeed.
We really appreciate the distinction in describing what data is, that it truly is more than just a test score, not something to be feared, and that is actually being utilized by teachers and other educators, you know, for improved learning. A popular misperception is that the Common Core State Standards require new K-12 data collection and sharing of data. Can you explain the facts on this one?
Sure. It is a big myth, and oftentimes so much is getting confused up around data and Common Core and lots of other issues. But, you know, as lots of your listeners will know, the Common Core State Standards are a set of standards, and they actually have no implications whatsoever on additional data collections. There's a set of Common Core assessments that are aligned to the Common Core, and those will collect the same sorts of data that states have been collecting now for a long time and have been required to collect in the last 10 years or 15 years out of No Child Left Behind. But so that there really is no change in the data collection requirements that are linked up with anything having to do with Common Core. In fact, you know, one of the big misperceptions out there is that the federal government will have access to information that comes out of the assessment of the Common Core. And that actually is not the case, and there are four federal laws right now on the books that prohibit the federal government from having any access to personally identifiable information at all. And so it's really important to clarify again and again that the Common Core state standards are nothing more than standards, really important, that there are assessments that you're choosing to take with that. And you could argue, and I do argue, that while it doesn't change what data is collected, we do have an opportunity that when we have across the country voluntarily increased the rigor of the standards that we're expecting our children to come to, and when we assess that, that we are on the cusp of probably having some of the richest information coming out of these assessments that we've ever had before, because people developing the test believe that these are the most quality tests we've had and to the highest standards that we've had across the land. And as a result, the data coming out of those assessments potentially could be used to really improve education across the board. And a lot needs to happen to make sure that we leverage that new access to that richer information, and I'm happy to talk more about that. But to answer your original question, there really is no data implication or new data requirements that are linked to the Common Core state standards.
And again, that clarification, I think, is going to be really, really helpful in terms of understanding what a great tool and value that quality data is and will be to support improved learning for all kids. So as you were just explaining, data really is playing a new unprecedented role in education. Yet, still looking at the bigger picture, the education sector has lagged behind the corporate sector in using data to guide its policies. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think I would answer in one quick answer, culture. You know, when I used, Cindy, you know, I used to work at the National Alliance of Business and have a very big place in my heart for the role of corporate America working to improve schools. I think that they are incredible advocates and partners in this effort to improve student achievement across the board. And when I used to bring business leaders around to schools and education systems, they would first start with saying, why aren't we getting better achievements? We keep doing all this work, we're putting dollars in, we're doing the right policy, why aren't we getting the results? And then they would go into a school or they'd get to familiar with the system and they would be incredulous about how little information there was that teachers, that principals, that school leaders, that students themselves and families lacked and that they didn't have to inform their decision making. And what they said was, I couldn't run my business this way. I couldn't make decisions without having quality information that was guiding my decision making. And I think that speaks to the fact that, one, we've never, you know, really only in the last 5 to 10 years do we actually have the quality information that we deserve in this country to help guide our decision making, from moms and dads having that to teachers, to students, to policymakers. So we just didn't have the infrastructure that allowed us to have this quality information. We now have that. Every single state in this country has a statewide longitudinal data system that allows us to provide that rich picture of student progress and where students need help in their educational journey. But the second piece is culture. That while we now have a greater infrastructure and greater capacity and the ability to now collect robust information, we haven't done the people side of it as well as we need to. We haven't focused on asking people what's the information they need, how do they need it, when do they need it, what's the format that they need it in, how do we make sure we're getting into people's hands, and most importantly, how are we creating a culture that values this information, that trusts this information, and that people can understand the what's in it for me, why this actually matters to them, why it's going to help my child or my neighbor's children. And that culture of use is really important. And there's not a single organization in the world, whether it be nonprofit, for-profit, public, that is getting results that isn't using data effectively. And I would argue that there's no sector that's more important that we get results in than in education. And that's the real challenge and the opportunity we have today is how do we create a culture that values data? And I'll go back to the question we just talked about for
sure.
The Common Core standards and the assessments, that I think the real opportunity here with these sets of tests that are being released at least this fall, or with any set of tests, and this whole conversation we're having about opting out of test taking and the value of tests, is that part of the reason we're having this backlash against testing is that moms and dads and teachers haven't gotten the value out of these tests because we don't have a culture that really unpacks what these assessments can be telling us. You know, we have a culture in education that we look at the data, we say, oh, a 22 or a 56 or whatever the magic number is. We look at it, we admire it, we put it in the newspaper, we call that transparency, and then we put it on a shelf. Business would never do that. Business, if they choose to expend the time, resources, and money to measure their progress, they are dissecting that to say, so what, now what? What does that just tell us, and now what are we going to do differently to get better results? That's the culture of continuous improvement, and using that data for continuous improvement that very few places in education have today, and I would argue is going to be the tipping point when we can start changing that culture to look at data not for compliance, not merely for accountability, but truly for continuous improvement, is when we're going to start seeing incredible changes in getting those results that our kids deserve and our families deserve and that our country needs. And I think that that's the opportunity we have, and we have a whole lot that we can learn from not just corporate America, but also to any organization that has that culture that values data for continuous improvement.
And that's a great segue into the next question about how data really has impacted education policy in recent years. As you were just explaining, it has so much power to impact and affect. Do you think it has become a really disruptive innovation in a positive way to support education policy, you know, looking ahead to the next decade?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're just on the cusp of leveraging the power of this new rich data, and I think it's in several ways. We're starting to see greater alignment across our education systems. I think one of the, three things. We're seeing better measurement of knowing how we're doing. I mean, looking at the graduation rates and the increases in the success there, I mean, part of that stems from the fact that we, 10 years ago, put in a more effective measure, the cohort graduation rate, which actually allowed us to figure out how many kids really are truly graduating, because the previous rates, we weren't able to do that. And then once you had an accurate measure, it also could then lead us to making better decisions to make sure that we were focusing on that continuous improvement of improving that. Second of all, we have this alignment question, and one of the real successes in the last 10 years has been the rise of high school feedback reports that now 44 states do. And high school feedback reports provide literally feedback information from what happens to high school graduates once they leave the system and go into post-secondary education. And what we're finding is that real information going back to tell a school, to tell a system, hey, you know, 55% of your kids your graduates went on to higher education, but by the way, 35% of them needed remediation in math. That kind of feedback information gives people information on, wow, we're not there. There's a disconnect between our exit standards and the entrance requirements of higher education, but also what's going on that all these kids need remediation and what can we use to use that feedback information to continuously improve on our preparation side. And then the third piece that we're seeing also is just the use of predictive analytics. And that sounds like a scary word, but what it really is saying from all this big data and research we have, we now have the ability to identify kids who are falling off track and take actions immediately before waiting to find out that they don't show up at high school graduation or that they graduate not ready for the challenges of post-secondary education training in the workplace. And to me, that's the disruption that is such a positive way, and what a hopeful thing that we can now do is that we can now identify kids in fourth grade who are falling off track because we know that, you know, they're not reading on grade level, that they are, you know, in an eighth grade, we know if their attendance is starting to slide, that that's a trigger, or that, you know, having three failing grades in ninth grade is a strong indicator of not making it out of high school. That teachers can now start taking action on that, and that there are formal processes in place to make sure that we get, that we do everything possible to identify those kids and act to get them back on track to succeed, rather than saying when they don't show up at graduation, oops, we lost another 10,000. And that to me is truly important. But then the other piece is going forward. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg, and we'll see more and more of that data helping to identify what needs to be done. But also just this incredible explosion of the use of data and new technologies in the classroom that allow teachers to truly personalize learning for every single child in a way that we've never been able to do before. And you know, great teachers have always personalized learning. They've always used data points. They've always done everything possible to tailor learning to every child in their classroom. And that's what now having the technology, the data, allows every teacher to be able to do that in ways that are more effective and efficient. And so I just think we're going to see incredible ability in practices and in uses of data, not just in policymaking, to make sure that we're allocating our scarce resources towards those things that most get the best results. And we're starting to see more and more of that, the return on investment and being able to make decisions based on what works rather than what just feels right or we think is the right thing. We're going to be able to intervene in a timely way if the kids' lives can change that. And we're going to be able to personalize education for every child in this country. So it is an incredibly positive story going forward with the role of data. But before any of that can happen, we have to better explain to the American public how this data is a positive force for good, because a lot of people are scared by the use of that data and how it could possibly close doors rather than open doors for kids and families.
Finally, CED members, most of whom are business executives, as you know, are you uniquely qualified to promote and advocate for a more data-driven educational system, which you've already referenced and acknowledged, given the role that data plays, you know, in the private sector? So what steps can business leaders take to help ensure a comprehensive and quality education for every child?
So I am a huge fan, as I said earlier, of the business role in supporting education. And I think you just listed the two of the main ways I think the business community can support this. One is with their advocacy hat on, to continue to be a critical friend of education and to be an advocate for what's right for American children by expecting that our kids should be and can be and should be and must be graduate from high school and at every level being able to compete with children from around the country, around the world. And I think that the business case for making that case, no one else can make it like the business community can, that this is not just the feel-good thing to do, it's a necessary thing for our economic viability, for keeping the American dream alive, for making sure that our companies have the world's best workforce, but also that we have the consumers needed to drive demand for our American businesses. But also that this is, you know, an issue of national security, and the business community needs, and their leadership role needs, to continue to advocate that on the broader piece. On the data front, I think the business community can bring their voice as a sector that understands in its DNA how important and vital it is to value and use information as a tool for continuous improvement, as a tool to manage for results, and to use that and to help the education sector understand what it takes to build that kind of culture. You know, our tagline at Data Quality Campaign is, how do we help transform the sector to use data and to see data not as a hammer but as a flashlight? And I think that there's so much that the corporate community, the business leaders, can help the education sector and education leaders understand. How do you build a culture that does value data and information as a flashlight and not as a hammer? And so that gets to my second recommendation that I would encourage your members and business leaders to do, which is in their local work, if they're going to work directly with a school or with a system, one of the greatest things that the business community can do is to help build the capacity of local leadership and teachers about how the nuts and bolts of building a culture that values data, how do you use data to manage your results, how do you present information in an effective way, how do you train your workforce to understand that they have a responsibility in using data responsibly and effectively and efficiently. So I think it's both policy and being a strong supporter of high expectations for every child in our country, for being a strong advocate for making sure that data is accessible and useful not only in our schools for educators and school leaders to use, but also that we are putting a premium on transparency and making sure that citizens have the information they know so they can be informed voters and taxpayers, and that especially families, that parents and students have the information they need so that they can make the best decisions for their families. And the voice of the business community is critical for advocating for all of those. But also when it comes home to working with local schools, there's a whole lot that business leaders can do on the ground as well to partner with schools around the data issue.
Amy, those are excellent recommendations for our business leaders with respect to ways that they can help support policy and advocate on both a local and national level.
Thank you so much for your time and insights.
The Committee for Economic Development would like to thank the Carnegie Corporation of New York for their generous support of this podcast. You can learn more about College and Career Ready Standards and CED's work by visiting ced.org/education podcast.